Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt and Kyle Etherington joining you this morning on Inside the Huddle.
Good morning.
Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities of Clinton County. You can listen to Inside the Huddle right here on WILO 96.9, 1570 AM and Boone 102.7 FM. You can watch on HoosierLandTV.com, streaming live and archived 24/7. You can go and check out our past episodes on HoosierLandTV.com. You can listen to us on Spotify at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media, or you can listen on Clinton County, Boone County, or Carroll County DailyNews.com. Click on the sports tab and click on the Inside the Huddle tab. You'll find all of our recent episodes. And we've got a full slate today here on Inside the Huddle, talking some high school football as we get ready for the sectional pairing show on Sunday. One more week of the regular season, and we're excited for it. Let's get to our guest here in studio from Clinton Central, who got the win over Delphi last night, 40-20. We have head coach Jeremy Finley and Levi Jacobs. Guys, how are you doing today?
Really good, thanks.
Great.
Well, that's good to hear. You guys able to bounce back with the win, and that's your final game of the regular season because you don't have the game next week against Tri-Central, but had to feel good to get a game to end the regular season before you head into sectionals.
Yeah, especially with the way our sectionals playing out. You know, and it's always good. First of all, it's always good to win, right? But like when you're looking at your timetable and your schedule and how things go, like last night was a paramount game for us, right? Like to at least come out and be competitive and put on a good showing in preparation for the tournament. We rose to the occasion last night.
Yeah, able to get the win 40-20 over Delphi. And that wasn't, you won by 20, but it was a back and forth game. You guys were both scoring here and there, and then you guys were able to pull away in that second half. Just talk about what you saw from your team yesterday and the fight and resilience they had.
Well, I mean, it really started with our first drive. You know, our offense is designed to grind you out. So our first drive was 7 minutes that resulted in 8 points. So that's exactly what we wanted. That's what we preached when we knew that's what we were coming out. So that set the tone. Then we came out, had a good defensive stop, you know, that they continued to move the ball. Like, we didn't feel that from an offensive standpoint, they stopped us last night. I mean, did really well. Our snaps were phenomenal. No errant snaps last night. Great job, John Dill. Rising to the occasion. You can kind of feel through the week, you know, we had a great week of practice. Guys are locked in, seniors. We're making sure things were good to go. So it was just a really good week. Had a really positive vibe. Kids were receptive, coachable. You know, we did some different things with Levi this week. Tried him out at nose. And then did some stunning and blitzing with him and some of the inside linebackers. And it worked for us this week. You know, shout out to all those guys. You know, the all-ball twins, Keaton and Kyson. You know, when you do things like that, you put a lot of responsibility on your defensive backs. Because, you know, we have to go cover zero when you're sending three guys, defensive linemen and two inside linebackers, almost every play. You know, and with the exception of a couple, you know, one time a guy falls down, kid makes an athletic move, gets a good touchdown. But by and large, even on defense, I felt like we closed. We tackled really well. But more importantly, we were coachable. Like, guys stayed home instead of getting washed out. A lot of successful things we did in the game as far as just being coachable.
Levi, you had a 75-yard touchdown run that kind of sealed the game. Coaches talked about it a little bit. You kind of been asked to do a bunch of different things throughout the season, and I know you've been a great blocker on a lot of the big touchdown runs for Ameren and Creed early on in the season. You're able to get one. What did you see on that play, and how were you able to take it to the house?
I just saw some really good blocks by our line and our backs, and it was just phenomenal blocking, great snaps by John Dale, and it was just, we were blocking all night, so I think we just worked better as a team tonight than we have been.
Talk about the process throughout the week, because as Coach said, it was a great week for you guys. I know the emotions were high coming off a rough stretch, but also it was homecoming for you guys. So a really important week for you guys. Talk about what you saw in practice from the rest of the squad.
We just had great energy all practice, and it was just good practice throughout the week. We weren't flat at all like some prior weeks we had been, and everything was just preparing us for the win on Delphi. We went on Monday saying we were going to beat Delphi, and that's how we played.
I've got a question as far as homecoming is concerned. From a player's perspective, first, Levi, then Coach, I'll turn it over to you. How different is it from a player's perspective of homecoming? Because you've got some games that you're pumped up for, but with homecoming, there's so many extracurricular events, so many exciting things going on, especially with dress-up days and seeing some of your teachers twin out. Coach Finley, shout out to you and the athletic director as well, man. That was a really nice photo, or a Polaroid, as we used to say. So, Levi, what's it like with homecoming as far as dealing with all those extracurriculars?
It's awesome. It really prepared us for the week because, you know, we had that volleyball game and we had the powder puff game. And
how'd your class do? I'm sorry to interrupt.
We did win. We did win.
You did win?
Yes.
Bro, way to go.
All seniors,
go
all ahead. The way across the board. But it was just, it was exciting throughout the week, and we are just really excited to play this Friday.
That's great. And Coach, how about for you? Is it tough to keep the players focused, especially when they're dominating on, you know, powder puff and they're dominating in volleyball? Or does that give them a little shot in the arm in a way?
Well, you know, coaches kind of sometimes looking at it twofold, right? Like they think it's a distraction. My take is, look, like these kids are only got so many years in high school that, you know, like at the end of the day, to be honest with you, nobody's probably really going to remember the game itself, but they're going to remember the memories of homecoming week, getting to go and do the volleyball game, getting to go coach the powder puff, getting to actually interact as a class from both a male and a female. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, it's – I love it. Like, I love those weeks because I do feel like more so than not the class camaraderie's there, the school spirit is there. You know, we had a phenomenal pep session on Friday. You know, looking to celebrate our girls volleyball team who plays in their sectional on Thursday. You know, even though it was like football homecoming, like I always feel even in the wintertime when you're doing the hard court and all that stuff, like those blankets of community support kind of bring in all the sports programs, bring everybody together to celebrate the athletic program, the athletes themselves, not necessarily just like specific programs. Like it brings the department and all the athletes together, coaches. So I love it. I think those weeks are great from a community standpoint. There was a lot of people came to the game last night who literally was coming home for homecoming. So, and then the fact that you get the win, you know, like I'm super blessed. You know, like we've 2 years in a row we've won homecoming. We were able to get our seniors a win on senior night. So what I feel is like when these seniors look back on this season, very few of them are going to remember what the actual record was, but they're going to remember those key moments where they got to walk across the field with their mom, where they were standing on the 50 with their brothers, when they were able to get the win on homecoming and then go celebrate it as a school on Saturday at the dance. Those are the things that kids are going to talk about 20 years from now, not the fact that so-and-so fell down and missed a tackle or whatever. Like, so I love it. I think it's a great week.
And that's interesting that you bring up the memories, because I couldn't tell you who our homecoming opponents were in any of my 4 years of high school, but I do remember when we had the car and we had the we hit the car with a bunch of hammers, and the homecoming queen got hit with one of the hammers, so they kind of stopped doing that when you beat up the old car with everything. But community support and spirit, I tell you, for those of you that are watching on Hoosierland TV, Coach Finley always gives us wonderful little gifts, and this is going to be very comfortable. I'm not lying. But you've got RPO on the back, run people over. Kind of talk about the concept of running people over, because a lot of people think that just defense are the ones that hit people. But on offense, you get an opportunity to kind of let people have it as well. Levi, kind of talk about that from a player standpoint, and coach, kind of talk about it from a coaching standpoint. And if you need to use pancakes, we'll definitely talk about them on a Saturday morning.
Well, you just have to get your block so your running backs can run. And every play, you want to run as hard as you can so you don't get tackled at like the 2-yard line. So you just want to run hard every play and not just one snap, I suppose.
So the whole premise of the single wing is to get an identity, right? So like when we first took over as a staff 3 years ago, one of the big things that we identified pretty early on was like there was no real vision or no real like what is the team's identity? Like what were we about? Coach Douglas worked through it, went and found it, did all the research, realized that the single wing and what it's about and how it's executed lined up almost perfectly with our team. Like he brought in, and it goes by each position and kind of describes the attributes you want in each of those positions. And as we're going through it, like we were literally like, oh yeah, that's Nate Wells. Like that's like we could instantly, as we're reading a description, just start putting our players in there. You know, and then you get it, and it's, you know, it's one of those offenses that is not the sexy offense. It's not spread. We're not slinging the ball everywhere. You know, and it's really a throwback to the veer, the midline, the triple option, to where you get the original RPO, run people over.
Grind it out.
You know, like the
down
single
and dirty.
So when you look at all the football positions, quarterback, tailback, halfback, like those were all based off of alignment and positioning of people in the single wing formation. So it's a very grassroots, hard-nosed offense to run. And that was always our identity under Coach Gilbert. So those of us that played for him, coached for him, just kind of felt like that's Clinton Central's identity. Like we are 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We want to punch you in the mouth. You're going to punch us in the mouth, and we're just going to see who's left standing at the end. So that's our identity, and that's our philosophy.
And Sam, one of the great things about Coach Gilbert was he was about one of the nicest people you could ever possibly meet. And then on Friday night, he was an absolute Spartan a lot of the times too, or a fighting Irish if you want to go with that, Sam.
There we go. Talking with Clinton Central's head coach Jeremy Finley and Levi Jacobs. And guys, let's talk a little bit about sectionals, the pairing show coming up on Sunday. You guys doing anything special for the pairing show?
Yeah, we always we have a great alumni supporter of the program. Kyle Rule, him and his wife, always open up their home to the team. They host us, so we'll go out to the Rules again. Coach Robinson, who is a phenomenal cook. If you ever get an opportunity to try his brisket, I highly suggest it.
This is 2 weeks you've talked about that brisket, man. I'm going to start drooling on the microphone eventually.
Coach Travis got it going on. But we're going to go out and we're going to come together, have fellowship, eat, and then we're going to watch the draw starting at 6 on Sunday. So,
and we talked about it a little bit. It's going to shake up for your guys' sectional specifically because of what Tri-Central had to do in canceling their varsity season, and now just recently Irvington canceling their season as well. So there's only 5 teams left in your guys' sectional. What does that change for you guys?
Well, the most apparent is the number of byes now that are going to have to come out of the first round. So you got to get 4 teams to the second round. So that literally means there will be 3 byes and then one pairing. So, you know, just doing the quick math, that's a 60-40, you know, chance. So for us, it's going to be critical how this draw plays out just from a time standpoint, because we don't have a week 9 game. If we draw one of the byes, then it doesn't put us until the next week. It'll be 21 days in between a live game.
That's a long, long time.
Well, and especially when you're talking high school kids, you know, like it, just trying to keep focused and stay on course. You know, we have a plan. You know, we're going to do some team building stuff. Like we're going to do some things to kind of keep it lively and engaged. But this is one of those second and third order effects of when teams start canceling seasons that no one really takes into account, especially with the tournament time. Like, it gets to be really crunch and can get laid out pretty wonky based on the numbers in your sectional.
Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on, Coach Fenley and Levi Jacobs from Clinton Central after their 40-20 victory on homecoming over Delphi. We appreciate you guys.
Hey, I would like to, before we get off here, I would like to do a shout-out to your couple. So our youth program last week won their championship. So shout-out to our youth players and the coaches. Phenomenal season. Great job. And then our junior high program has won 7 straight games. We'll be playing for an undefeated, undisputed conference championship on Tuesday against the Delphi Oracles at home. From a program standpoint, we are treading in the right direction. Super positive, super proud of all of our players and coaches at all levels. Starting to believe, and then once you believe, success follows.
That's what we love to hear. We appreciate you guys. That'll do it for quarter number one of Inside the Huddle. We'll be back in just a little bit with quarter number two. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street, or online at WinskyBrothers.com.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit HealthyClintonCounty.org.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Welcome back to quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. In quarter number one, we caught up with Clinton Central and their one of their running backs, Levi Jacobs, and Coach Jeremy Fenley. And here in quarter number two, we're going to catch up with the Carroll head coach, Blake Betzner, after their win against Clinton Prairie last night, 51-18. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We are doing
fantastic.
Great. Coach, we appreciate you coming on. Let's talk a little bit about your game last night. You guys got stopped on the opening possession. You guys got the opening kickoff and went 3-and-out. And then after that, you scored 6 straight touchdowns. So what was the message to the offense right after they came off the field, and what flipped and what changed after that first possession?
You know, last couple weeks after the Eastern game, we kind of went back to the drawing board. We had a week off, and you know, we wanted to take that as a positive instead of as negative. So we really just talked to the staff and decided, you know, we need to have an identity. We need to make sure we're all in line with our identity and how that's going to go. And Coach Hendricks is phenomenal. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you can ask anything to. He knows the game inside and out. And, you know, we just made the decision that we're going to be a run downhill type team and get after people. And that's kind of what we've changed to. So the first series, we kind of ran some of our base stuff, and then we got into, you know, we call it, you know, Ram is just kind of a power offense, and we just said, we're going to see where it goes. And you know, he had a bunch of plays set up, and we kind of put in a new formation, and the kids ran it really well. And I think it's just a mentality thing. We know who we are. We want to be a physical team, and that's how we want to play the game. So I think after that first series, we said, okay, you know, it's time, and we need to do what we need to do.
And Clinton Prairie got the ball after that first series. They started marching downfield, and they threw up a pass towards the end zone, interception from Brody Ray. You guys' defense was able to step up in key moments and get a couple of turnovers. You had a pick six from Cale Peters late in the half. That kind of shut the door on what Clinton Prairie wanted to do late in that first half. What did you see from your defense yesterday?
Well, I thought Prairie had a great game plan. You know, I went into the game thinking, okay, you know, we got to stop the run and then just make them pass. But, you know, they didn't really even attempt the run. They spread us out and just threw the ball all over the place. And I thought that was a thing that put us in some bad situations. And we had to change some things throughout the game just because we didn't, you know, we've seen them in some different formations, but they're probably an empty, you know, three-fourths of the game without even a running back. So it put us in some tough situations, and I give Prairie a lot of credit. They put us in, you know, when you go spread, it kind of takes away some things you want to do, you know, with blitzing and just some different things. So they did a really nice job. They've got some really good athletes all over the field. Like, you just can't focus on one. A lot of 1A schools, you can say, okay, if we take this receiver away, you know, we'll have a lot of success. But, you know, they've got four or five guys that can make a lot of plays. So, they can do a lot of different things. So defensively, I was just proud of the guys for changing. We changed a lot throughout the game of just rules and things we wanted to try to do, and our guys are just listening and did the right things all the time. So I'm really proud of those guys.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch a couple of plays that worked early on in the game for Clinton Prairie. You guys were able to adjust throughout the game and kind of shut those plays down later on in the game. So what is that conversation like between coordinators and you, the coach, and then the team to go out and execute those mid-game adjustments? Because you come in with a game plan and you guys are focusing all week, you're running through walkthroughs and you're practicing these specific things, but then you have to kind of throw some of those things out and you have to adjust on the fly. What is those conversations like?
Well, you know, I think that's, you know, you just have a lot of belief in your staff. And, you know, we got some guys up top that saw some things. You know, our DB coach and our linebacker coach were coming to me and saying, hey, let's try this, let's do this. And I think that's what's, you know, having a staff that is feels comfortable speaking up and, you know, is thinking all the time during the game of, you know, hey, my position group would do better if we did this, you know, or my position group would do better if we did this, we try this. And, you know, when a staff, you know, works as well as we do, we've been together now for 4 or 5 years, and we just talk, and we'll change anything at any time. So our staff does a really, really good job, and they're invested in it. I think that's the important part. They have a say in it, and, you know, what they say, we listen to, and we make those changes, and they watch those changes up top and making sure those changes work. So when you build a football program, I think, if you don't have a good staff in place, it makes it really hard. And we've got just a really, really good staff that has a lot of buy-in of what we're doing.
And, Coach, one thing in particularly with that staff, with the secondary, congratulations on the win. That was one of the things that we were talking about in pregame. We knew that the secondary was going to be tested a lot more than they probably had been in the last couple of weeks, if not the entire season. If you take a look at NFL defensive back heights, it's like 5'8", 5'10". Maybe you'll get a 6-footer every once in a while. But looking at your secondary, you've got some tall guys who are really quick to the ball, because there were a couple times where a player got beat but was able to make up for it with their quickness. So how do you teach height, I guess, is my question that I'm asking at Carroll for the secondary.
Well, Ty Jacobs is way faster than what you think, even on film, because every time I looked up, he was behind all of our guys all the time. He's a really good player and just elusively fast. But number 14, Brody Ray, he had a knee injury in practice, and we didn't think he's going to be able to go. If he had a big brace on his knee, and he was just, you know, I just told you, you're not going to do much. You're just going to backpedal a lot. And so he made that first interception. He got kind of beat, and then he made up and went and got it. He didn't play any offense last night. He's usually our receiver, and he didn't. I don't think he played a snap of offense. We just played him defensively. And then another one I'm really proud of is Carter Altig. He hasn't played any defense all year, and we've had some injuries and dings, and he came up. He had an interception late in the game. He's another tall kid, 6'3", really athletic. Just we play a lot of teams with one wide receiver. So when only one wide receiver plays, it's been Brody playing most of the time. So when we knew we were going to play them, Carter had to step up and do what he needed to do, and he did a really nice job. So very proud of those two guys. And then Kill Hernandez came in and played really well also. He's a kid that's kind of in and out. He's a junior. He's not real big, but he'll, Jarbo had an opportunity to score, got knocked out of the one, and that's a 135-pound kid just, coming up and making a stop at the one-yard line that he's not afraid of anything. So he played a lot last night. He's played on and off, but he had to play a lot last night. He did a really nice job. So our DBs, again, they were tested all night. They were tired. We were bringing some people, and when I thought the first half was, I didn't think it was ever going to end. I've not been in many games where I don't think they ran more than like three or four times in the first half. So, our guys were tired because every snap was, backpedaling and running 30 yards every play. So we need to probably run again on Monday to get them back in shape a little bit.
It was pretty interesting to see how quickly the press box emptied out at the end of the game because a couple people were up past their bedtime. But sticking with the defense, no sleeping for the defense, and I really thought that the blitz packages that you guys put together to counteract the pass was just phenomenally well executed by the players, especially from the weak side. Kind of talk about the linebacking core that you've got, because to me, I thought they really made a big difference in the game in just hurrying the quarterback and then getting a big fumble. That first half was so long. We'll just say it was as part of the game in some time, because it was a long game last night.
It was. So our two outside linebackers last night, and then we've switched and moved them around a lot, but it was John Kerry and Cale Peters. John Kerry is only a sophomore. He's grown so much. He was one of those kids we talked about at the beginning of the year. When you start a sophomore, you're just not really sure. You don't know what that kid's going to become. And he didn't come off the field last night offensively or defensively. And he's became a really, really good player as a sophomore. And
he was like a man possessed, I thought. Just, just fire in the eyes, basically.
And he's a football. Three sport guys. He plays more than one sport. But, man, he's a football kid. He's just that kid. He's not afraid of anything. If you keep the game pretty simple for him, it's going to be really hard for the other team the other night. Just because if he's got one job, it's going to get done really well. So again, John has just been great. We had his older brother, Mike Carey, and he was another. I knew what we were getting with John because Mike was just a worker, did everything the right way. Loved the kid. So when I knew he had a little brother, I was excited to get him. And he's not disappointed at all. And then Cale Peters, you saw him on offense. If he runs like that on offense, it's easy to change that defensively. Just now you tackle the guy you run over on offense, it's just the opposite. So Cale Peters is a phenomenal athlete. He can do anything. He's another just young man. So his success is well-deserved.
Talking with Blake Betzner, head coach of the Carroll Cougars, after their win over Clinton Prairie last night, 51-18. And Cale Peters, he was our player of the game. He had, of course, the couple of rushing scores. He had one where he didn't get into the end zone, but he ran it for about 70 yards and was barely tackled down at the 2-yard line. I was saying in the booth, unhook the trailer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it was weird because I watched it a couple times last night. And, he just kind of got a misstep, and the guy just got him. And Clinton Prairie kids are fast. Usually our kids are gone, they're gone. And, that was a King kid, I believe is the name. He's a really good player, too. They just got a lot of them. But, he caught him from behind. I was like, there's not a lot of guys in high school 1A football that are catching that guy from behind. So, we'll poke fun at that a little bit, though.
Yeah, two rushing touchdowns, passing touchdown, and a defensive touchdown for Cale Peters. He was the Farmers Bank player of the game last night. Coach, before we wrap up, I want to talk a little bit about the next couple of weeks. You guys have the sectional pairing show on Sunday, so you guys will kind of wait and see where you guys will be heading or what the matchup will be for that. But then next week you guys get a Sheridan squad who's coming off a big loss to Eastern, and so they're going to be fired up and ready to go. What are you expecting next week against Sheridan?
Oh, a lot of fun. You know, we're going to line up, and it's going to be bloody. And it's, you know, to me, that's 1A high school football. You want to come out and watch two teams just go at each other, and, you know, whoever wins that first, you know, 12 inches, that first foot of the line of scrimmage is going to have a lot of fun that night. And if you're not that team, it's not a lot of fun. So we're going to hit that all week. We better win the line of scrimmage, or, you know, they'll be hanging a loss for sure. I've watched them. You know, I know Eastern's always a tough matchup for them just because of their passing game. Just like with a lot of teams, when they have a lot of athletes, Eastern does it. They throw the ball around a lot, and they kind of take you out of what you want to do defensively. And so I know what they're going to be, and they're going to be really good, and it's going to be a lot of fun to play them, especially there.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you coming on, and good luck to you guys next week. And we'll look forward to seeing the matchups that you guys get in sectional play, and hopefully covering you guys in sectionals.
Thanks for all you guys do. Appreciate it.
That's head coach Blake Betzner with the Carroll Cougars. We'll be right back with quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
There's an issue cutting through the partisanship in Congress. It's AM radio. The overwhelming majority of legislators, Democrats and Republicans, support a bill to keep AM radio in cars. But time is running out. Text AM to 52886 and ask Congress to bring this bill to the floor for a vote now. AM radio is too important to let this moment pass us by.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's the weekly roundup of the news that matters most to Indiana producers and agribusinesses. Hoosier Ag this week. From market trends and top headlines to weather and expert analysis, Hoosier Ag covers the stories shaping your week in agriculture. Tune in every Saturday at 7 a.m. for a full half hour of insights and updates exclusively on AM 1570, 96.9 WILO, and Boone 102.7. That's Hoosier Ag this week, where Indiana agriculture comes first.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
It's going to be a great weekend to get some of those outdoor projects done today. It's going to be sunny with a high of 69. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 42. Sunday, sunny and a high of 71. Columbus Day Monday, sunny and a high of 75. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. News and weather updates 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County DailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington. You can watch Inside the Huddle on Hoosierland TV, although I hope you're not watching right now because I just fumble my headphones around a little bit as I was trying to show off my Cubs shirt.
You didn't have to prove it to me. I would have believed you. Lots of fumbles everywhere.
Inside the Huddle brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers. Again, watch Inside the Huddle on Hoosierland TV. Listen on WILO 96.9, 1570 AM and Boone 102.7 FM. Catch the Inside the Huddle replay on Sundays at 7 o'clock right back here on WILO, or you can listen to all the archived episodes on Clinton County Daily News by clicking the Sports tab and clicking Inside the Huddle, or you can listen to us on Spotify. It's great to listen to if you're in your car, you want to listen on Spotify. Just search Inside the Huddle or Casper Media. You should be able to find us. I also share most of those episodes on my X account, so you can follow me on there as well.
We're
so,
like germs. You just can't get away from us. We're everywhere.
Exactly. Well, let's get to our next guest here in quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. It's Frankfort head coach Justin Kinsey. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing better than I deserve. Thank you for having me on, gentlemen.
Coach, we appreciate you coming on. Let's talk about your team. We haven't had a chance to catch up in a couple of weeks, so let's talk about what you've seen from your team over the last couple of weeks. Yesterday against North Montgomery, you guys fell 44-8, but what have you seen from your squad over the last couple of weeks?
Yes, I mean, the name of the game for the last couple of weeks has really been us, you know, trying to, you know, we went through that gauntlet that was, you know, Cascade, Weibo, and Southmont, who are, you know, not just three of the best teams in our conference, but three of the best teams in the state in their respective classes. I know I was looking at the Sagarin ratings, and I was doing the comparisons of, like, all right, let's see, who are the 5A teams that Cascade would beat according to Sagarin ratings? Those three teams were a juggernaut. You know, the bigger thing, too, is they, you know, we left that three-week stretch pretty beat up, and I know, you know, we had some guys that were missing time, or we were kind of putting them on light duty or putting them in different positions just to try to get them back, you know, healthy. And, you know, this week we were able, we have a couple guys still out, but we were able to get a couple of key pieces back. I know the last 2 weeks we have our senior starting quarterback, Kiefer Dooley, has been back. We got Francisco Vega, who kind of started our season as our third running back, got his way up to our main running back, and then he got hurt 3 weeks ago. So we got him back this week. So, I mean, really, it's, you know, going into this final three-game stretch, it's been like, all right, let's see who's, you know, who's cleared by the trainer, who's not cleared by the trainer, you know, who's got to go through light contact today, who's got to go through drills. Yeah, so, I mean, just getting everybody healthy has been huge. And I think the resilience, again, you know, being a group of young men that, you know, it's been, I mean, legitimately, but what, 15 years since there's, you know, they've had a successful football season here at Frankfort. You know, to see the guys in that atmosphere, in that environment, in the locker room, on the field, it's like, hey, I need you to, you know, need you to go to tight end this week. All right, coach. And they're, you know, they'll pick it up and they'll do it. You know, moving some bodies to linebacker because we had some depth issues at linebacker. It's been awesome seeing the guys, the way that they're rallying together and gutting it out. There's a lot of grit in this team, and I, you know, it's really kind of shown the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, talk about a tough conference slate against Cascade, Western Boone, Southmont, a couple of really good football teams. And the Monon Athletic Conference has been really competitive this season, and you get a team in North Montgomery who's also kind of struggled in the Monon Athletic Conference, but they're a really good team too. So talk about a little bit about the game last night and what you saw from your team in last night's performance.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we knew, you know, they were a team that, you know, like us, has had a little bit of trouble against the run in previous weeks. That being said, you know, we have, essentially, we've got two different personnel packages here. You know, we've got our spread stuff and we've got our under center stuff. And so we were trying to make sure, you know, we were utilizing both personnel packages, had a little bit of success, I think, you know, both sides of the ball. But again, you know, it's been kind of the story of our season. There's a lot of, far too many drives are being ended by guys wearing royal blue and making mistakes versus, you know, being stopped by the opponents. That said, you know, North Montgomery came out. They had a good game plan. They put a lot of pressure on, took away the inside run pretty good. And I know, too, you know, we know they onside kick every dang kick. We knew it. We planned for it. And then
you sound angry about that, Coach.
Yeah. Well,
it's fresh,
you know,
feelings.
It is. Yeah, it's fresh hurt because, of course, the very first kick, they, you know, freaking get a onside kick on us. It's like we talked about this all week. But sometimes, you know, it is hard, you know, having a small team, an inexperienced team, super young team. You know, it is. I always say it's kind of being a triple option guy. You know, a lot of times, you know, they can prep for it all week long, but Friday at 7 p.m. is the first time they're going to see it. You know, it was like we prepped for the onside kick, and 7 p.m. on Friday was the first time we actually saw the onside kick. And we, you know, we gave them one, and then the rest of them we kind of locked in, and the guys, you know, the guys didn't give up another one, and then they started kicking it deep. So, yeah, I mean, we spotted them 2 points, you know, two touchdowns right off the bat, gave them two drives. But, I mean, it's frustrating because it is, you know, we had ourselves very, very first play of the game. You know, they won the toss, they took the ball, and, you know, we got a strip on the very first play, took over on offense. We got to do a better job of capitalizing on those opportunities when they pop up. You know, we tell our team all the time, you know, a football game comes down to, you know, two or three big plays, and you don't get to choose which two or three plays. You got to play every single one. Like, this might be the one that breaks the game wide open. And last night, we just, you know, we did not take advantage of those opportunities. And Northmont didn't let us take advantage of those opportunities. So credit to them. They came out, you know, I know they were like us. They were an 0-17 last night, and they came out hell-bent on this is where our season turns around. And they came out better prepared than we did.
Well, sectional pairing show coming up on Sunday, and you famously said a couple of weeks ago, hey, we're not eliminated from the playoffs yet. So this is, for some of your guys, the last chance they'll have to compete in a sectional football game. Obviously, the regular season game next week to cap off the regular season, and then the sectional game coming up in a couple of weeks, depending on what the draw looks like. But what is your plans, or what is your team's plans for watching this sectional pairing show?
Yeah, so we're going to be here in town at Frankfort. We got the Eagles Lodge in town is going to let us come in, and we're going to watch the pairing show together. You know, obviously we have a super competitive sectional. I think, you know, even I know, you know, coming down here when I, you know, moved down here to come into the Monon Conference, you know, I made some comments. You know, guys, this conference, like, low key, this could be one of the most competitive football conferences in the state. Kind of reminds me a lot of like that Indiana Northern State Conference. You know, you got a lot of small schools, but man, these aren't, you know, the cupcakes. These are tough schools. So you look at our sectional, and I know, yeah, we're going from a conference of 2A and 3A schools to a sectional of 4A schools. But I do hope that, you know, our guys are kind of, you know, they're understanding that, you know, we've been tested. We've been battle tested. The conference we are in is, yeah, we're not playing a lot of 4A schools. We're going to be playing teams with probably some deeper rosters than ours. But, you know, I promise you, ain't nobody in our sectional that's going to hit and run on us like Cascade did. You know what I mean? That's a really, really talented football team. So I think the guys understand that there's a couple of ping pong balls in that machine on Sunday that, you know, if they pop up, we're going to be pretty excited. So it's going to be exciting to see. Definitely wouldn't mind the ping pong balls, ball gods, granting us another home game. That would definitely be good for us and for the community. But yeah, we're going to see, as a team, we're going to come together as a family, and we're going to watch, and we're going to hope for the best, and we're going to find out who we're preparing for next week.
And coach, as a coach, we are control freaks. We want to control as much as we possibly can if we can help it. Describe Absolutely. Your thought process with the ping pong balls, because you're going to have thousands of people tuning in to see where their futures are going to go and to see where their seasons are going to continue and everything like that. And also, we've been talking with Coach Finley about brisket a lot, so I got to ask you as well, what type of food are you going to be serving this Sunday as well?
Yeah, so I'll go back to front here. First of all, I think we're getting some pizzas. We're just going to eat some pizzas. You know, nothing makes teenage boys happier than a bunch of pizzas. So I already told them sodas are on me tonight. So I usually yell at them, and I don't let them drink sodas. But when we go on Sunday, I'll buy the sodas. But
I
yeah,
like
as far
that.
As control, right? The guys are excited too. And as far as the control freak thing goes, again, like I spent 3 years up coaching in the state of Michigan. I spent my whole career here in Indiana. I lived in Indiana. And then up in Michigan. So in Michigan, it is not an all-in format. You have to earn your way in. And what ends up happening is, you know, if you lose a game, basically, like, you get no points for that. So you have teams up in Michigan that they'll have a record that's, like, I know we had 1 year, as 2023, I think we were 3-6 going into the playoff draw. And we ended up missing the playoffs. We didn't qualify for the playoffs. And there's actually a news article about how we were in our class in Division 7 up in Michigan. We were the biggest playoff snub because you look at our strength of schedule, and it was essentially, if you use the Sagarin ratings, this is actually like the 35th best team in the state of Michigan, and we were home getting our equipment you know, put away and sent off for reconditioning. So the ping pong balls, I can understand a lot of coaches being frustrated and wanting seating. I could understand if they ever do any kind of seating, I would like to see 1 and 2 in opposite sides and just ping pong ball the rest. But I just know, you know, coming from another state, what we have in Indiana is so beautiful. And I know, you know, coming up from being up in South Bend, you know, you always knew there were some years as an assistant coach, I'd be at a, you know, an 0-10 or an 0-9 South Bend Adams or a 1-8 South Bend Washington, and you're getting together with your boys to watch the pairing show, and you know that there's a ping pong ball in that machine that you have a shot against. And I do love that. I love the randomness. I love that, I love the fact that everybody goes in and everybody's got a shot. You know, you never know what the little ping pong ball is going to pop up with. Everybody's got a shot.
And I could do about an hour on the Sagarin ratings and any type of predictions as well. So, Sam, I'm going to turn it back over to you, and I'm just going to sit calmly in the corner as well, because I could do an hour just on those things. So
yeah, I'm a math teacher. I get it, man. I love analytics. I'm a big analytics guy. I could talk Sagarin forever.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on and talking a little Frankfort football. We'll catch up with you at least one more time before the end of the season. So, Coach, we appreciate it. That's Head Coach Justin Kinsey with the Frankfort Hot Dogs.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you guys. Go Hot Dogs.
That does it for quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. We'll be right back with another coach on the line for quarter number four. Stay tuned. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Are you running a business and want to get more customers? Hi, I'm Don, your small business marketing expert. If you want to increase sales, you've got to get your message out. But which media should you consider? About 29% say they read a newspaper every day. 69% say they use Facebook. And 71% of the population watches TV. But did you know that radio reaches about 88% of the population? And the average listener spends about 12 hours a week with radio. Also, radio has grown. From on-air, online, on-demand, from laptops, tablets, smartphones, and smart speakers, radio is everywhere. Radio also dominates in the car. So if you want to make every marketing dollar count, consider radio. It's affordable, it's effective, and it's everywhere.
Hi, I'm Russ Casper with Casper Media. Promote your business with WILO, Boone 102.7, Clinton, Carroll, and Boone County Daily News, We Love Big Deals, and Hoosierland TV. Call me, Russ Casper, or station manager Cindy Lovelace, and we'll show you how we can help you build your business. Call 765-659-3338 or go to yesweelovelocal.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number four. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. We could not do this show without our wonderful support from Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities, so make sure you go and support them with anything that you need. Quarter number four of Inside the Huddle, and we are here in studio with Head Coach Kurt Schlicker of the Clinton Prairie Gophers. Coach, your team fell last night to Carroll 51-18. We saw some good things from your team last night. We stuck with them early, and then some turnovers and some bad things that kind of derailed that game. But talk about what you saw from your squad yesterday.
Well, certainly to start off with, everybody in the area knows that Carroll has a solid team. And they're very strong on both sides of the ball. So, you know, we went into the game last night. I think that we weren't really sure what defense they're going to play. They play a little odd. They play a little even. So I thought our offense did some really good things at times. The turnovers, as you mentioned, have really hurt us at different points this year. And, you know, when you're playing good teams, those turnovers just tend to come back and get you a little bit. But, you know, I was pleased with our effort last night in many cases. We had some boys I thought played really well last night. And, scores can be a little deceiving at times, right? And, I thought we moved the ball fairly well. We struggled to run the ball last night. But then you watch the film. I'm not sure anybody's really ran the ball too effectively on Carroll. So that wasn't a complete surprise. You know, we had a couple of maybe breakdowns, but give them credit. That offense that they have there is multiple. It may not look that way, but they formation you quite a bit, and they've got some good players up front. So, you know, overall, you know, you always feel better when you win. And we've talked about this before. You try to learn when you lose, and, you know, you try to stick with it. And, you know, like you look at the scores last night, you know, I got to give Central, you know, Clinton Central a ton of credit, right? And they've struggled here for a few weeks. And, you know, last night they come up with a big win. And that's a credit to those kids, and that's a credit to the coaches, staff, to keep your team together, right? You know, everybody's happy when you win and this and that. But to be able to, you know, to stick with something, and, you know, they should be proud out there of what they did. And hopefully we can, you know, rebound here and bounce back.
Yeah, it was a great start to the game for you guys. Carroll got the opening half or opening kickoff in the first quarter, and you guys held him to a three and out. You guys had a couple of tackles for loss, got in the backfield on a couple of plays, and you start marching down the field and threw an interception. But there was a couple of times early on in that game, you had a chance to take a lead multiple times throughout that game. What did you see from the defense, at least on that opening possession, and then what did you see that Carroll kind of flipped where they were able to go and score touchdowns?
Yeah, you know, like defensively, you know, Carroll is going to try to put some pressure on you and get in your quarterback's face if you throw it. You know, I thought we did a nice job of moving the ball there early. I thought our defense came out strong. You know, we got Hunter Cooper back last night and played a little bit. And I got to give Hunter a ton of credit because he really hasn't practiced very much. That ankle still doesn't look very good. You know, he came out early and gave us a little bit of a spark on defense. And we were able to get a couple tackles for loss. You know, I think a couple times maybe we didn't quite get lined up. But that's a credit to them, right, kind of just with their formations. And not a lot of margin for error, right, when you're playing a strong offensive team as they are. So, you know, I thought the effort was there. Even on the plays, you would think, well, gosh, that was a big hole. Yeah, it maybe was, and maybe that's just something we need to get fixed. But you know, they broke some tackles too, right? We had some guys there, and, you know, in spots, and you know, sometimes you know you got to wrap up. And you know, I'm not saying our kids didn't throw it in there. We threw it in there last night. We just didn't we didn't get them down as much as we needed to. And, you know, we didn't finish a couple drives there. You're right. We moved the ball. I don't know how many yards we have, but we were moving the ball fairly decently last night. But kind of the same thing that's bothered us a few other times this year. We just weren't quite able to finish some of those drives.
We talked about it a little bit on the broadcast. I don't know that I've ever seen a quarterback for a team break as many tackles as the Carroll quarterback, Cal Peters, did last night. He had some excellent runs. He had one run where he broke it for 70 yards, and Alex King was able to catch up to him and make the tackle to save a touchdown momentarily. So let's talk a little bit about the passing game. And you guys went with Gage Kuzmix for a lot of that game yesterday, and you had quite a bit of success. It seemed like you just couldn't connect on that one deep pass. You lined up a couple ones that would be just outstretched hands of a receiver or just off the receiver's hands, and just couldn't connect on that one deep play.
Yeah, we were close there. I think you could see that on a couple of those. And, you know, we had a couple of other ones I think we missed on. I thought Gage has been playing well. He's had a very good season. Brady's had a good season for us as well. I don't think that's an indictment of Brady Allen at all. I think Brady's done a nice job for us. And, you know, they're both good kids, and they both work hard. You know, I thought Alex King had a really good game last night. I think Alex has played very well here, really the entire season. And, you know, just the effort play, right, to make that tackle from behind. He made a spectacular catch then later in the game. Alex has been running the ball real strong for us. And, you know, Alex plays with just a sparkle in his eye. He does. He comes off the field. You know, he's not hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's ready. He's ready for more. We've got several boys like that. So I give Alex a lot of credit last night. And, you know, we talked to our boys. You know, there's still a lot of football left in the season, right? And we certainly know what Eastern is. You know, they're a very strong team, and we've got them next Friday night. But, you know, we try to tell the kids all week, you know, we're not playing the name, we're playing the game, right? So you're not playing the name on the uniform, you're just playing the game, right? Football, in the end, is pretty simple. You know, you got to block, you got to tackle, and, you know, turn the ball over. Well, you know, we did some of those things very well at times last night. We just didn't do it as well as they did overall. And, you know, we try to stress to our boys, too, there's a couple things you always control, right? You control your attitude. You know, that's an individual thing, your attitude, right? How you approach each and every day, what kind of energy you're going to have, and then your effort level. You control your effort. So you control your attitude and your effort. And, boy, we had some outstanding. You know, watch Kyson Abenga last night just going from sideline to sideline, you know, throwing his body out there.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Abenga is beautiful, I'm telling you.
He is really fun to watch, and he has just done a terrific job for us. I thought Braden Jarbo last night played a very physical game for us. Which was great to see. That means he's healthy. Kai Jacobs, we ask him to do a lot. He does a lot. I thought he was all over. He's getting double teamed in certain spots, and you know, he returns our kicks, he returns our punts. He does a little bit of everything for us. So we had some really nice efforts there. We were a little short on the O-line last night, and then we had an injury. So everybody has injuries this time of year. You know, we didn't have Thatcher last night. We're hoping to get him back, you know, before the end of the season, but. At times last time we had real good protection. Our quarterback had a chance to get rid of the ball on several occasions. Jackson Price made some nice plays for us last night. I thought Jackson ran the ball really hard. That was good to see. And I think Jackson's improved on his defense here of late. Throwing it in there, making some really nice tackles. So there were a lot of positives last night. Carson Neal keeps coming along for us on that D-line. He's going to have to help us a little bit on the O-line. Freshman Andrew King has done a marvelous job this season as a freshman. I thought Brody Atkins played well last night at center. Brody's putting together a nice little solid season for us in there, and we're really proud of what he's done. You know, we missed Coop on offense a little bit, right? We haven't had him on offense now for feels like almost three games, so hopefully mm-hmm. we get him back, and that'll help us a little bit. Not saying that other guys haven't done well. I thought Ryder Mitchell came in last night and gave us a nice little lift when we lost Braylon Hellman, and hopefully Braylon's going to be okay. Trenton Kayser, right, has his moments, right? You watch there on the field. He makes some really, really nice plays, and he had a couple of nice catches and runs last night. So, you know, overall, there's still a lot of positives to look at on this team. And, who knows? You were asking the last coach, what you do about the draw. Really, there's nothing you do about the draw, right? You just, you're going to get what you're going to get. You know, our sectional is a little bit strange because we were already a seven-team sectional, and now with two teams, I'm assuming Tri-Central's not – I mean, I saw they played a game, I guess, last week. But I would assume that there's only five teams that are going to play in our sectional. So I don't know really what that means. I'm sure there's some buys available. And, I don't know if that's good or bad, to be honest with you, whether you want to buy, don't want to buy. Maybe people say you do, but then part of you says, let's just keep playing. So whatever we get, we get. And I know our boys are going to be excited to find out who that will be.
And I think the one thing in particular with preparing – week by week is just getting ready for what you're going to face. So you go from Carroll, who is a much more run heavy team, to Eastern that likes to throw the ball around and they can be really effective with it. How does the preparation change in getting ready for a team that's really run heavy versus a team that's really not pass heavy, but is going to pass the ball a little bit more than the team you saw that ran the ball so much?
Yeah, you make a good point there. And we always say, like, 1A football coaches are faced with a lot more, I think, than the 5 and 6A. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but, right, we'll go from a no-huddle shotgun 1 week to a no-pass, no wide receiver, double tight. Even, like Carroll last night, there's times, right, there's nobody wide out. They got nine guys right there on the line of scrimmage, so... Certainly Eastern, we've seen them a little bit on film. They're good up front. I think that's the thing people don't realize. They're good up front, and then they do have skill. They've got speed. They beat Carroll with just a ton of big plays. You watch that Carroll game, right? They pick six. They get a pick six.
Oh, yeah.
They return a kickoff all the way down. And they hit a deep post for about 70 yards on them. So it was big plays. Other than that, I thought Carroll, I'm not saying they dominate. They're nothing like that. But I'm saying, like, they are a big play. But they're strong enough that they can grind it out. So, I think that shows in Eastern's record, right, that we knew, you came into this season, I think everybody kind of knew. Like, Eastern was defending sectional champ. They're certainly a good team. We all know what Carroll is, right? Taylor won the sectional last year. They're a good team. Sheridan has proven to be a solid team. I have not had a chance to fully watch that game with Eastern last night. But I think that score just kind of indicative of how good Eastern can be. I'm not surprised. I don't think anybody's surprised by that. And we'll be in for a challenge next Friday night. But, again, I think it's more about us playing the game and trying to, be a better team overall. Like, we've tried here Our motto for the season was everything is earned. And really, sometimes you face some adversity. And the great thing about Indiana football is you don't have to have the clean record to play in a tournament, right? So everybody's going to have a chance. And what we want to be is peaking at the right time, right? You always want to peak at the right time. Well, you know, we're getting close, right? We're really close to the right time. And, you know, so that's still our goal, right, is I don't, you know, you want to believe we haven't played our best football yet. And I don't believe we have. And, you know, part of that's just putting the pieces together in the right spots and making sure we're healthy and we're hungry and ready to go.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you coming on. We are looking forward to next week against Eastern. We'll have that game on Hoosier Land TV. And
yes, indeed.
Any special plans for you guys to watch this sectional pairing
you
show?
Know, yeah, we do. We'll get the boys together tomorrow. Now, you can't require anything on a Sunday, so, you know, we're offering. We're hoping the boys show up tomorrow. You know, we have some youth football. If you're interested out there tomorrow at Clinton Prairie, our youth teams play all day tomorrow. And, you know, our JV has a home game on Monday night this week. It's our fall break week, so I guess kids get to sleep in a little bit. Maybe that'll help refresh us a little bit. So
teachers too, right?
You know, a little bit. No question. The thing is, it's amazing. Like, gosh, I got like a list of things I need to get done next week. Besides,
oh, you got a honey-do list too, huh?
You know, it seems like you say, "Well, I'll do that during fall break." Next thing you know, you got a list during fall break. You're like, I don't know if I'm gonna get all that done, but yeah, it's you know, everybody. You know, we love our jobs. I always say, anybody who's in coaching, teaching in the high school level, or you know. At the middle school, you got to love the kids, you got to love the job.
Preach.
Because it's you know, it can be challenging, just like every job's challenging, right? And so you know, everybody enjoys break. That is one of the perks of being a teacher, right? Is, you know, you get a little spring break, fall break, Christmas break. You know, you do get a break every now and then, and we certainly appreciate that. So, and hey, thanks again for the coverage, guys. You guys do a wonderful job.
Any thoughts, IU versus Oregon today?
Well, you know, you're my heart, you know what my heart says. I look for it to be a very competitive game. I really do. I haven't really watched Oregon, you know. I mean, not this year, so I can't really say. I know. I'm assuming that they're, you know, uberly talented at skill and all this. So I would say that IU, just like everybody, right, cannot turn the ball over today. If they play a clean game, they'll be in the game and have a chance to win. But if they turn it over a couple times, when you're on the road like that, that'll be difficult for them.
Yeah, Kyle, you're picking that IU versus Oregon game.
Yes, I have. Had so many emails and text messages from people trying to influence my picks this week alone more than any other week. And you know me, I go big or go home. So I am going to go Indiana by 10.
By 10. Okay. I really like what Oregon is doing this season. Dante Moore, DeCorey Moore. Anytime you have a wide receiver and a quarterback, same last name, and their first name starts with the same letter. I just think that's kind of cool. So
absolutely.
I'll go with Oregon and the Ducks tonight. I think at home in Eugene, game day environment.
It's going to be a fun atmosphere.
It's going to be a fun,
definitely.
fun game to watch. And so I will take I'll take Oregon by whatever the spread is. I'll take Oregon. That'll do it for this episode of Inside the Huddle. You miss any part of today's show, you can go back and listen on Clinton County Daily News or on Spotify at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.